For months, I have contemplated our future and the outstanding group of men who are offering themselves to the Republican Party to be its standard bearer in the 2008 presidential election. Today, it is my pleasure to announce my support for America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and a proven leader who is not afraid of what lies ahead and who will cast a hopeful vision for all Americans.
That's the Reverend Pat Robertson endorsing Rudolph Giuliani this morning in his run for the presidential race in 2008. Of course, it is one of the biggest stories today. Many are confused. Many are wondering, how can Pat Robertson, so long a staunch defender of things like life and the other issues, endorse Rudolph Giuliani, who among all of the contenders is not really the best choice for life? I mean, most people look at it this way. There are others who are solidly pro-life running for, on the Republican ticket. Why did he do it? How could he bring himself to this point in his endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani? I want your reactions to Pat Robertson's endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. live this Wednesday, November the 7th. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Our in-studio email address for your questions or your comments, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, we just finished a conversation with Pastor Robert Baker, author of our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, What Happened to Merry Christmas. He's got a blog that he mentioned, and I didn't give the address, but I want to now. I recommend you go there. It's ChristmasEverywhere.wordpress.com. ChristmasEverywhere.wordpress.com. And if you go there, you can find out about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, What Happened to Merry Christmas. Okay, audio open lines. I was shocked when I heard it. When I first heard, I heard it without any announcement. I simply heard the audio of, and you'll hear it in a moment here if you haven't heard it already today. We'll play it for you because it's audio open lines. And when I heard this endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that sounds a lot like Pat Robertson, but it can't be. And I listened and I listened. And by the end of the audio clip I was listening to, I thought to myself, that's got to be Pat Robertson, but it can't be. How could Pat Robertson endorse Rudolph Giuliani for the 2008 presidential race? How did you react? Were you surprised? Were you disappointed? Did you see it coming? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. First thing I did was I dialed my cell phone and got a hold of Jeff. We were both driving into work at the same time. And I said, you'll never believe this. Pat Robertson just endorsed Rudolph Giuliani for president. And what did you say, Jeff? Do you remember what you said?
No way.
Yeah, you said no way. It didn't happen. I said, I just heard it. I just heard it, and now they're talking about it. Stranger things have happened, I suppose. And, of course, Pat Robertson is kind of famous for being the herald of strange things, the speaker of cryptic and strange things. But there they are standing together on the stage. The backdrop reads, Join Rudy 2008, and Pat Robertson decided he is going to join Rudy in 2008. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. I want your reaction to it. First, let's hear some of the sound from Pat Robertson's press conference with Rudolph Giuliani this morning. He began by outlining several issues that he considers of highest importance when one considers who they'll vote for in 2008.
In less than 2 months, American voters will begin choosing the nominees of their respective political parties for the office of the presidency of the United States. To me, the overriding issue before the American people is the defense of our population from the bloodlust of Islamic terrorists. Our second goal should be the control of massive government waste and crushing federal deficits. Uppermost in the minds of social conservatives is the selection of future Supreme Court justices and lower court judges who will sit in both the federal circuit courts and the district courts.
Okay, he laid out three things: a defense against Islamic terrorism, fiscal conservatism, if you will, size of government issues, and who will be the next Supreme Court justices when vacancies open up, and lower court justices. Now, he's going to go on to talk about why on those three pressing important issues, he decided that Rudolph Giuliani was the best person for the job. The one thing he didn't mention there, and it's what I was wondering when I was listening to Pat Robertson the first time, was he didn't mention the obvious one, the elephant in the room, which is who has the best chance of beating the Democratic opponent, whoever that may be. What did you think when you heard Pat Robertson's endorsement? Does his reasoning hold water? We'll hear more of it in just a moment, but he says, look, this is the best guy for the job on the issues of defense, on the issues of the economy, on the issue of future Supreme Court justice nominations. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Were you surprised? Were you disappointed? Were you elated to see Rudy get another big endorsement? He's already got a number of them. Here again is Pat Robertson dealing with the first issue, and that has to do with defense. He believes that Rudolph Giuliani will provide the needed leadership against worldwide terrorism.
Our world faces deadly peril. Nuclear-armed North Korea and the foreboding of nuclear arms in Iran. Deadly violence from Hamas and Hezbollah against Israel. The possible overthrow of Pakistan's government and drawn-out wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In all of the crises which confront our nation and the world, we need a leader with a bold vision who is not afraid to tackle the challenges ahead.
Is Pat Robertson making his case for Rudolph Giuliani as far as you're concerned? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Now, as to Giuliani's qualification as a man who is able to meet big challenges, this is what Pat Robertson had to say this morning in his endorsement announcement.
Rudy Giuliani stood tall as his city was rocked by the worst terrorist act in America's history. Rudy Giuliani took a city that was in decline and considered ungovernable and reduced its violent crime, revitalized its core, dramatically lowered its taxes, cut through a welter of bureaucratic regulations, and did so in the spirit of bipartisanship, which is so urgently needed in Washington today. He proved time and again that he is a true fiscal conservative.
You know, after this, I was listening to some of the buzz. And after we heard Pat Robertson come out, some say unexpectedly, for Rudolph Giuliani as an endorser, I was listening to the buzz, and people were asking, well, why not Mitt Romney, who on all of these issues can be argued is, well, he may not be Giuliani's equal in his experience from 9/11, but he's got a lot of experience, and he was governor of a rather sizable, not this geographically, population-wise, rather sizable state. Why not former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee? Why not Senator Fred Thompson? On all these issues that he's named, national defense, the economy, and judicial appointments, were you surprised to hear this? That Pat Robertson has decided Rudolph Giuliani is his man? 1-800-730-2727. Do you buy his rationale for making his endorsement? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Another reason for Robertson's endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani, he says Giuliani's a crime fighter.
Rudy served as a high official in the Justice Department of Ronald Reagan, and later as a United States attorney, won acclaim as a valiant crime fighter. Justice triumphed as he took down mafia dons, drug traffickers, and corrupt politicians.
Now, at this point in the speech, I'm thinking to myself, okay, fair enough. He's dealt with Giuliani's record, his past in the Reagan administration. He is a man most associated with law and order and justice. He proved that in New York City. There's no doubt about that. And he reacted very well when it came to the crisis of September 11th. But the whole time I'm listening to Pat Robertson, I'm thinking, maybe you were too, but what about the life issue? Rudolph Giuliani has given money to Planned Parenthood. He's gone to rallies for Planned Parenthood while doing all those great things in New York. He's in favor of federal funding for abortion, he says, as long as it's a constitutional right, if people can't afford it, we ought to pay for them to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Reverend Robertson, what about the life issue? Well, let's play this and then go to the phones. This is how Pat Robertson addressed the issue of life when it comes to his endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani.
He understands the need for a conservative judiciary, and with the help of the distinguished Ted Olson, who's here today, and other members of his team, has assured the American people that his choices for judicial appointments will be men and women who share the judicial philosophy of John Roberts and Antonin Scalia.
All right, that's how he explained it. He says he'll make good appointments to the Supreme Court. Does it hold water for you? Let's go to the phone. Steve's up first, calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
My first thought is Jerry Falwell was flipping over in his grave.
Well, that may be true.
Yeah. No, here's the thing about it. If you ever look back a little bit of history, why did the Pat Roberts and the Falwells of the world post? They didn't like what they called the Rockefeller Republicans, where you're more physically conservative but you're socially liberal. And that's what Giuliani is. He's a Rockefeller Republican. Now, why is he doing this? This is purely speculation on my part. I think what it is that there's really not a viable candidate out there that Pat Robertson probably thinks can hold the mantle of what they want. But so what he's doing is to be a political broker in this whole game of politics. Is he's willing to go with who he thinks is going to be the winner, not necessarily who the person he thinks is the best one who represents what he wants.
Okay, so in your mind, Steve, before I let you go, does this represent what many who've been reacting to this have said is a compromise of principle in order to retain power?
Yep.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. That sounds like disappointment to me, as much as you can be disappointed with Pat Robertson. Barry's in Pennsylvania. He's up next. Hi, Barry.
You know, I'm thrilled by this. I'm really pleased to hear that that Robertson has come out and done this.
Why is that?
I have a hard time understanding how he can be an Orthodox Christian. He seems to fall more over into the heterodox camp. But I think as an activist, pro-life Democrat, I'm thrilled to see anything that strengthens Hillary Clinton. I think this is very good for Clinton. And I think he's climbing on board. You know, three state chairmen, state Republican chairmen, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all endorsed Rudy Giuliani this week. I mean, there's a huge groundswell. He's going to be the nominee. And Robertson is getting on board so that he has a seat at the table.
Interesting. All right. So were you surprised?
No, because I don't see him as a man of integrity. I don't have respect for him. I think he's been shameful in some of the things he's done. It's the sort of thing I would expect to do.
Barry, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Pennsylvania. What about the rest of you? What was your reaction to Pat Robertson his endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani this morning for president? This comes on the heels of very loud proclamations from other evangelical leaders like Dr. James Dobson, who has said he just can't do it. He can't endorse someone like Rudolph Giuliani. He's wondering whether he can endorse anybody, whether anyone's pro-life enough. And Pat Robertson said, well, look, if he promises to appoint the right judges, I think I can do it. And he does it rather enthusiastically. 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Issues ETC at KFUO.org in San Clemente, California. Here's Steve. Hi, Steve. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. Great show, as always. Thank you. I wanted to say I was very surprised about this endorsement by Pat Robertson, but I'm very pleased. I think he's taken a page out of Martin Luther's book, and I think it was Luther who said that he'd rather be ruled by a smart Turk than a stupid Christian. And I think that a lot of Christians are going to hold their noses if they vote at all. And I think that this attitude by Christians to not compromise on anything and to not want to vote for the lesser of two evils is just going to open the door for Hillary, and that she will win because of the stupid Christians in this country.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. I was listening to a news account. We were talking to prospective caucus and primary voters, and they're talking to evangelical Christians, and one of the guys said, look, I'm going to do everything I can for candidate X, but if Rudolph Giuliani gets the nomination, and he said he probably will, I'm going to vote for him because I can't vote for his opponent. Is that you? It seems to be Pat Robertson already, even before the nomination has been handed down, even before a primary vote or a caucus vote has been cast. Josh is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Josh.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd.
Sure.
I'm going to reserve judgment on what I think about Pat Robertson's endorsement. But the thing that came to my mind is, what's it going to be like watching the 700 Club for the next year? You know, on Mondays, you're going to tell us how to save money so we can donate more to Giuliani on Healthy Wednesday. We're going to have to learn how to live longer so that we'll be alive to vote in the presidential election. I mean, is he going to endorse Giuliani and bring it up every other day on the show?
I don't know. You know, some people, and thank you very much for the call, Josh. Some people in reaction have been going back over what Pat Robertson has been saying on his television program and have concluded, you know, if we were paying attention to the 700 Club, and a lot of people don't, no wonder, we could have seen this coming. In fact, I read someone earlier today who said, look, if you watch Pat Robertson's commentary on Rudolph Giuliani ever since Rudolph Giuliani appeared at Regents University and spoke there, you would not have been surprised by the endorsement today. He's basically been sending out the signal ever since then, back in July of this year, late July, that he was getting ready to cast his hat into the ring surrounding Rudolph Giuliani. So he's already been doing a little politicking, apparently, at least according to those who pay attention to the 700 Club. Al's calling from his car. Hi, Al.
Hi, Chad. Hey, I think it's a move that everybody's going to end up making right at the end. I don't have anything against him back in Giuliani, because I see this thing as a Giuliani-Thompson ticket, and I think that people are going to go that route because of the alternative, and they don't want that, and I think that they'll pick up more backing as they go into 08, and I think that's who it'll be, is Giuliani-Thompson.
All right, thank you very much, Al. If that's the case, then why didn't Pat Robertson add a fourth reason? He had three reasons for endorsing Rudolph Giuliani. One, and I asked this question in as much innocence as I can muster. One, national defense. Two, fiscal conservatism. Three, judicial appointments, quote unquote, or read, please, in the very small print, the life issue. Why didn't he add a fourth reason, which is, and Rudolph Giuliani's the strongest candidate going into the primaries and most likely to defeat a Democratic opponent? Well, I can tell you probably why he didn't include that, because that's not much of an endorsement. But it would be more honest, wouldn't it? I mean, people going to the polls saying, look, I'm going to vote for him because I can't vote for his opponent, that's honest. It's not an endorsement. Tim is calling from his car. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I think Christians that have deeply felt the horror of babies being killed, you know, this is a disgrace. For them to hold their nose and vote for Giuliani, and I think they ought to even hold the Republican Party responsible. When Christians have worked so hard for Republicans over the years, and this is what they get when it all comes down to the year 2008, this is what you're going to get. It's all been for naught. Okay, and I think as far as Robertson being a Christian, from Lutheran standards or any other Christian standards, I don't know that he believes in the Christian theology that I believe in. I think he's a Zionist myself, and he's self-righteous, and he's a political puppet of the Republican Party over the last 30 years. I think he would support any Republican. And I don't believe, again, you know, Giuliani's for gay rights, and you can't. He makes a mockery of the Christians.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. That actually, Tim brought up something that I hadn't even considered yet today as I was going over this in my own mind. Pat Robertson's endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani, he didn't even mention the gay marriage issue. That was left out of the entire press conference. Neil Cheesehead, he calls himself, in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, writes this, Pat Robertson endorsing Rudolph Giuliani. It's the kiss of death for Rudy, or at least another nail in his nomination coffin. No one respects Robertson. He's considered flaky by secular non-church people, and a lot of church people don't think much of him either. That's true. That's true. I mean, Pat Robertson is, I'm not going to, with the kindest way I can say, in the political landscape, Pat Robertson functions kind of like the court jester in a lot of ways. I've said whenever we've done Soundbite of the Week that if we could monitor enough of Pat Robertson's sayings in a given week, we could always have one interesting and outlandish saying from Pat Robertson every week during Soundbite of the Week. He's famous for saying things that catch people's attention. But his endorsement was apparently important enough to Rudolph Giuliani that Rudolph was standing right next to him this morning, shaking his hand. It was interesting. We don't have the audio of this, but when he accepted the endorsement, Rudolph Giuliani, it was almost comical. I'm sure if the writer's strike weren't on, you'd see something about this on The Daily Show on Comedy Central tonight. But Rudolph Giuliani said, thank you very much for the endorsement. Pat Robertson is a famous spokesperson for evangelical Christians. He couldn't think of a better word than famous. Bob's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Bob.
Hello. I don't take much stock in Pat Robertson's endorsement, period. And you already were getting at what my question when you spoke of holding your nose while voting for somebody. But could you discuss the lesser of two evils theory, which if we had a Giuliani-Clinton ticket, we would certainly be doing?
Well, and we very well could. Thank you very much. It's a good question. Okay, lesser of two evils. First of all, to rightly understand lesser of two evils, you have to understand that we do this every day. That we as Christians in this world are put into a position where we must choose the lesser of two evils every day. Now, we usually only think about it in terms of things like presidential races. Actually, there's more than two choices here, so let's not be simplistic. The other choice has been put out by those who say, look, if it does come down to the nominee for the Republicans being Rudolph Giuliani and the nominee for the Democrats being whoever it may be, maybe I won't vote at all. Now, they might argue that's not the lesser of two evils. That's a good thing to do. I don't know. Not voting when you're given the privilege and the right to vote seems to be the lesser of two evils. When we come back from this break, I'll explain a little bit more what I mean, and I want to hear your reaction. We've got 10 minutes on the other side of this break for your reaction to the endorsement by Pat Robertson of Rudolph Giuliani this morning for the 2008 presidential race. The subtext to all of this, of course, is, and unstated by everyone involved, is, well, look at the polls. Rudolph Giuliani seems to be polling very strongly, and he seems the most likely one to put up against whoever the Democratic Party might find as their nominee. We'll be right back.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Joe Cox, Associate Professor at Concordia University, Wisconsin, St. Louis Center. At Concordia University, you will find a Christ-centered curriculum that is tailored to the busy students' needs in the 21st century. Meeting only once a week, you can work toward an associate, bachelor, or even a master's program as you complete your college degree.
Concordia University, St. Louis Center, 314-984-8840.
On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson visits with a panel of military personnel about the growing problem of post-traumatic stress. You'll hear a retired Navy SEAL and his wife talk about the everyday stresses of military life and the many challenges to marriage and family for those in the armed forces. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Human races. Now, how many are they? Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the eye-opening book, The New Answers Book. Well, Ken, I've heard some people say there are at least four races of people. What do you say?
Well, first of all, let me read a quote from a scientist that was made before an American Association for the Advancement of Science convention in Atlanta. Quote, "Race is a social construct derived mainly from perceptions conditioned by events of recorded history, and it has no basic biological reality." End of quote. You know, what this person is saying is that biologically there's only one race of human beings. After all, we're all classified as Homo sapiens sapiens. Now, if people had believed the Bible beginning with Genesis, you know, they'd already know this. God's word teaches us that all people are descendants of the same one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. As Paul says in Acts chapter 17, we're all of one blood, which means there's only one race of humans. Evolutionists, though, have taught in the past that there are different races of people. Darwin himself believed that different races evolved at different times. And you know what? This has resulted in many racial prejudices. In fact, we expose that with a striking display in our Creation Museum. What a difference it would make if people believed God's word. There is only one race.
Well, what about races of people perhaps elsewhere in the universe? That intriguing question is tackled in a free booklet available on our website, AnswersRadio.com. It's a free service of AnswersRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Baker, regular host of Law and Gospel, inviting you to tune into the program for a discussion of what benefits you receive from Jesus Christ each and every day. Law may tell you what you are supposed to do, but the gospel reveals how your failure in doing the law is fulfilled by God Himself.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
Reverend Walter Meyer, Reverend Richard Kretzmar, and Dr. John Fritz. These men are the founders of AM 850 KFUO. They shared a vision of using radio to greatly expand gospel outreach. Just like the printing press in the Middle Ages, radio advanced the preaching of the good news. Here at KFUO, as we build on the success of the past, we never lose sight of the commitment and vision of our founders. Their examples speak from the past, encouraging us to press on. And so now we have the AM 850 KFUO Founders Club. For a commitment of about $70 a month, you join with these visionary men to help us continue our radio ministry. In September, Founders Club members and KFUO staff enjoy dinner together as partners in the effort to sustain the work of KFUO. Call me, Dorothy Kessner, at 314-505-7864 and become a founder today.
Today it is my pleasure to announce my support for America's Mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and a proven leader who is not afraid of what lies ahead and who will cast a hopeful vision for all Americans.
Pat Robertson endorsing Rudolph Giuliani this morning in his run for the 2008 presidential bid. We're talking about it with you for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. audio open line. Folks, we know that many of you will be considering your year-end giving in the weeks ahead. The year is coming to a rapid close. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. For a year-end gift of $50 or more, we'd be happy to send you a CD of my Christmas sermon, When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Now, you can donate on the secure section of our website, issuesetc.org. You can donate by calling our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or you can write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And thanks for keeping us in mind as we approach the end of 2007. One bit of housekeeping here. The question came up before the break about lesser of two evils. Let's be really clear. If you're going to have an intelligent conversation about lesser of two evils, first of all, be clear about the two evils between which you are choosing. Here's the scenario that's laid out here. It's Rudolph Giuliani versus Hillary Clinton, for the sake of argument, right? They're both pro-choice. So ask yourself this question as a pro-life voter. Is there any possibility in the world that you vote for Hillary Clinton? Answer, no. So what two evils are you choosing between? Not between the evil of voting for Hillary Clinton or the evil of voting for Rudolph Giuliani. You, and this is where James Dobson is absolutely right in his quandary that he's found himself in. You're choosing between the evil of voting for a pro-choice Rudolph Giuliani or not voting at all. So, the simple question is this, and I don't have any easy answers. If sitting it out means a slam dunk win for a worse candidate in the life issue than Rudolph Giuliani, then what do you do? That's the real choice in the lesser of two evils in this scenario.
You know, there's another scenario.
What's the other scenario?
It's my bid for president.
What do you mean? The Jeff Schwarz bid for president?
Yeah, remember the Facebook? Has anybody checked it out lately? Remember when somebody put this on Facebook? I didn't even know what Facebook was.
Jeff Schwarz for president. Yes.
So all you do is go to Facebook.com. You've got to type you got a name and your email address or a password, right?
Yeah.
And then you type in Jeff Schwarz, no T, for president, and vote for me. Now, you know, I told you I was running a stealth campaign, like a Fred Thompson thing, but I've been stuck at like 33 people voting for me. So in the near future, I'm announcing my cabinet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
really?
Stay tuned to Facebook.com and register there. And
okay, do you have any formal endorsements from anybody?
Some regular guests on the show, Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary, Peter Scare. Trying to think who else is on there. John Klinger here at Concordia Seminary, the IT guy at Concordia Seminary St. Louis.
Bob Smith is on there.
Bob Smith, the librarian at Concordia Theological Seminary.
Hmm.
So, but I need some more, you know, I can't run a stealth campaign anymore, so I'm going to shortly post my cabinet, which will all consist of issues that center regular guests.
Oh, good, good. And I am not your running mate, right?
Oh, you do have, yes.
I'm not your running mate.
No, you're not my running mate, but you do have a position on the cabinet. You know what it is?
What?
Department of Interior.
Oh, good.
Because you're always complaining you don't get a hunt anymore.
Yes.
So I figure if you're head of the Department of Interior, you can hunt, you know, till Jesus comes back and at the taxpayer's expense.
That would be awesome.
But vote tonight.
What does the job pay?
I'm sure it's more than this place.
Why do I even ask? What do I even ask? Back to the phones on Pat Robertson's endorsement of Rudolph Giuliani. Thank you for being patient. Matt, calling from Florida. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Todd. You want to be vice president if you're looking to hunt. Just be careful who you aim at.
Good one, yes.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction to Pat Robertson's announcement this morning?
My reaction was, meh. I'm not surprised. You see, over the last 3 weeks, I've been seeing rumblings of a third-party candidate and maybe possibly evangelicals wanting to go with a third-party perfectionist candidate who's pro-life and pro-everything that they want him to be.
But who would it be?
And, well, I don't know who it would be, and I don't think any of them know, but there's been names thrown out here and there. But I can see people like Pat Robertson saying, no, we can't have that, because if we go that way, we definitely will wind up with Hillary in office, because that'll just split everything.
But that's the calculus that he didn't admit to, but of course,
I know he didn't admit to it. I don't think that he would, because he doesn't. You know, Pat, he says things. We know he's pretty much the P.T. Barnum of the evangelical world. He's going to get attention.
But who? But wouldn't it be a more effective rallying point if instead of saying I endorse him, and he said with pleasure, he said it is my pleasure to do so, he didn't say he was holding his nose, wouldn't it be a more effective, even politically a more effective, since Pat Robertson's endorsement is kind of a mixed blessing for anyone who gets it, wouldn't it be more effective for him to say I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Rudy because he's better than anything else?
Because that would be the same as endorsing run for a third party. That people would hear that and they would say, well, even Pat Robertson can't stand these people.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so they would head right off, and they would, if there was a third party candidate out there, they would say, yep, we got to go for the, you know, even if it were Pat Robertson, they'd say, let's go for this person as our third party candidate.
All right.
And the next thing you know, you know, we got Hillary, so.
Well, and Pat Robertson can leg press a ton. Did you hear that? 2,000 pounds. That's what they say. Larry's calling from his car. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to say a couple things. It's really disappointing that he came out with this endorsement on the heels of Mike Huckabee's surge. I think Mike Huckabee would be a fantastic candidate for folks like us that have our view of things. And the other thing I wanted to say is with regard to James Dobson, I guess on Mike Huckabee's blog, I was looking on there yesterday, there's some people kind of lobbying to get James Dobson to come out and endorse Mike Huckabee. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, if Huckabee could, he's apparently in double digits now, so we'll see what happens. But it's just disappointing. I mean, I feel like a lot of Christians are throwing in the towel on the whole thing and saying, it's going to be Giuliani. I mean, there's still a couple months left. I'd really like to see.
A year. There's a year left.
Well, I mean, I guess until the Iowa primary in a couple months?
The first primary is going to come in January. The caucuses, okay. Cocci and primaries come in January, so yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's too early. I think Huckabee, I've been listening to him. He makes a lot of sense. He says in his interviews that he would be the, he says he's beaten the Clinton political machine four times in Arkansas. Now, I don't know if he truly has leverage with that or not, but I just think it's way too early to be throwing our hands up in the air and accepting a pro-choice candidate.
Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's get one more in here before our time runs out, and that's Larry who's calling from his car. Hi, Larry. Nope, Larry's not there? Oh. Yeah, well, I know why James Dobson is not endorsing anybody. James Dobson is keeping his powder dry for when it counts. Dave's calling from his car. Hi, Dave.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask you a question. Coming out of the break, you'd mentioned that, the comparison, the difference between two evils. I guess my question is, looking at Giuliani's history and his support of Planned Parenthood, how much worse can it get?
Good question, Dave. Very good question. Well, I guess it could get worse in that at least Giuliani has pledged to man the Supreme Court vacancies with what he calls non-judicial activists and originalist constructionists. And some people read that as code as pro-life judges, which would be weird for him because he's never done that before. And that seems to be one of the only issues upon which he has a real difference, other than fiscal issues, which are neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. Other than fiscal issues, it seems to be the only place where he has a real difference with Hillary Clinton. But they think he can win. Well, we'll keep watching this and getting your reaction as well. Tomorrow on the program, Dr. Carl Fikencher will join us on biblical examples of preaching. Then Friday, eternal punishment is the subject. Dr. Peter Scair, who has endorsed Jeff for president. We'll see how far that one goes. We'll talk about eternal punishment. And then Sunday night, the changing of sexual orientation, a conversation with Dr. Stanton Jones, author of a very interesting book called Ex-Gay. That's live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Today's Issues Etc. broadcast was underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, titled What Happened to Merry Christmas? More information is available by finding the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month, What Happened to Merry Christmas?